Turn your Bibles tonight to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. You know, very familiar passage of Scripture. It'll probably be preached during the missions conference at some point, I suppose, or at least referred to by somebody. I'm not going to preach it in the way that you would expect, but use it as an opportunity for us to see something that happened to Isaiah and then elaborate on that. In Isaiah chapter 6, in verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. That's something. I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Verse 5, then said I, woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. Verse 6, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which had taken with the tongs from off the altar. He laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Watch it. Verse 8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord, saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. The thing that I want to talk about tonight is the right response to preaching. The right response to preaching. The Lord simply asked a question of Isaiah, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. He responded to something that the Lord spoke to him about. So tonight what we're going to do is talk about the right response to preaching. Before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer and then we'll dive right into the message. Brother Jones, pray for us, please.
Amen. Without apology and without compromise, Lord, I pray that you would have your will and way in everything that's said and done tonight. Please touch Pastor with your power, and thank you and praise you for all that you do. Give us a praise in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Now, we're getting ready for our missions conference. You see the flags, you see the banners, you've seen the poster out there, you've heard the announcements. And, you know, and the question on your mind should be this. What is the right response to the preaching that I'm going to hear this week? Because you're going to hear presentations from missionaries. You're going to hear preaching from pastors. And you know that during this conference, there's going to be continual emphasis on missions, on the ministry. And you know that God desires and is going to speak to you through the words that are preached. So what should you do? And I'm just going to give you a few pointers, hopefully in preparation for the meeting, to set your heart and to set my heart in readiness for what the Lord might do in our midst. You know, we don't just have a missions conference because it's that time of year. We have it because it's a very important part of what goes on in our local church. It's very important what goes on in our lives. So what should you do? Here's the first thing. Come ready to hear from God. You know, I'm excited about the presentations that I'm going to hear from the missionaries. I'm really excited about an opportunity to meet Mitch Tillman. We've had some correspondence with him. I like the way he corresponds. He's a straight shooter. I love his dad, and I'm really looking forward to meeting him. But you know, I'm not just interested in meeting Brother Tillman and having an opportunity to visit with him. I want to hear what God has to say to me through that man's testimony and through the words of God when he gives a presentation. You see, at a missions conference, it's real common for the men and women that give their presentations to pretty much put it on autopilot. They have a 7-minute presentation, they have a 10-minute presentation, they have a 15-minute presentation. And they all come up and they say, Pastor, how long do I have? And you give them one of those time slots and then they just put it on autopilot and that's what happens. And we have been praying ever since we've been scheduling these missionaries that they'll take it off of autopilot. They'll let God use them to say something from their testimony and something from that word that is specifically addressed to us. So the thing to do is come ready to hear from God. Look in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 for the admonition here. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and look at verse 1. When Brother Jones prayed, he said, you know, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. We recognize that the house of the Lord represents, is really the people, but it's a good place to refer to the place where the people gather. So notice what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear. Right there. Be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. So he tells us to come prepared when we're here to hear and to hear from God. So here's what I would suggest. Pray for the men that are preaching. Pray for the missionaries that are presenting. And then come ready to hear from God through what they say. Listen attentively, not only to the content of the person's sermon. You know, you're sitting there, okay, point number one, I got to get this down just right. He said, you know, and you write it down word for word and kind of put everything else out of your mind until you hear him say, okay, and number two, and you get your pen out again and write number two. And when the sermon's over, you got a real good outline of what he just said, but you missed what he said because you were too worried about getting the outline down. So while you're doing all that, listen attentively, not only to the content of his sermon, but listen to how the Lord is speaking to you and applying something in the sermon or in the presentation very specifically and unmistakably to your life. Something that has your name and has your address on it. You know, when Brother Gipp was here preaching, for one thing, you know, there's going to be some personal stories, and another thing, you know, that's going to be funny, and another thing, you know, it's going to be long. So you don't know whether to pray for him to just preach and not tell stories or to get it over with quick, or you don't know, you know. I was praying, Lord, just talk to me. And you know, the Lord dealt with me in a couple of areas of my life in a way that is so specific and so just for me that the Lord's instructions through that preaching could not have been clearer if God had come and sat down beside me and handed me a note. And I mean, it was something, a couple of things that, boy, I mean, I was so glad the Lord dealt with me about. And I thanked him for that. It's really nice to know God's talking to you and using somebody else's voice to do it. I mean, how much better to do that than a donkey? I mean, if you know, you got, or a rooster, you know. How would you like to have a rooster talk to you the way that the rooster talked to Peter? That wasn't a very good day for him. Now, you can make a note when you pray that way and God speaks to you and you know it's God's voice. You can make a note of that thing if you think you might forget. But I'll tell you what, I've noticed something that when God writes those kinds of instructions on your heart, you don't need a notepad. They are life-changing instructions from God. And you know, it's a blessing to know that you have prayed, you have talked to God, you came, sat down, and God spoke to you. He's good. He doesn't have to do that. Boy, it's a blessing when He does. Second thing to do, you come ready to hear from the Lord. The second thing to do is present yourself to the Lord at the altar. And this is not for show. You've got a couple of visiting preachers here tonight. I want you to know that our altar is not a place where people come so everybody else can see that they've been here. It's used, I would say, more infrequently, but when it is used, it's used to accomplish something supernatural. When God's talked to you about something, though, I would say this, and you know He has, present yourself to the Lord at the altar. Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, a very familiar passage of Scripture, verses 1 and 2. Many of you have it memorized, but just notice something that he says. Sometimes when we memorize a passage of Scripture, we say it so fast we don't get the words. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God," watch it, "that ye present," that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, "holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." But notice, you present your body. Listen, I have learned in my own life, and I believe that it's true of others who have done likewise, as soon as you can after the preaching, you ought to make your way to the altar and commit to the Lord right there that you're going to start doing what He showed you to do immediately. It's an unforgettable experience. I'll tell you honestly, I've been in services where the preaching was so powerful and the voice of God was so direct and so sure. There were people that were affected by it that could not wait till the invitation, and they just made a trip to the altar right during the middle of the sermon to talk to God about it right then and there and get it settled once for all, go back to the seat and let the preacher keep on going. You know what that is? That's that instant response to what God has shown us in the presentation of our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. I say, don't wait. Don't wait. There is a lot that transpires when you walk out that door that begins to unwind what God has done in here. And that trip to the altar seals it. Don't wait. Don't linger. Make sure that your submission to the Lord is full. And if you're not sure, I mean, if you come to the altar and you're praying and you're not sure your submission is full, what's the rush? What's the rush? Stay there till you know there's no hesitancy on your part and that you, by God's grace, will do what He's asked you to do and what you are committing to do. I'm not one that makes a lot of trips to the altar, but when I go, it's good. And the Lord really helps that because it is a presentation of your body to the Lord. Here's the next thing. Come ready to hear from God. Present yourself to the Lord at the altar. And then this. Tell someone what the Lord has done. Tell someone what the Lord has done. Turn to Mark chapter 5. In Mark chapter 5, there was a real bad dude. I mean, really bad. Living in the Gadarenes. And he was wicked. You already know about him. He was so bad that he had an unclean spirit. When the Lord asked him, what's the name of your spirit? He said, Legion. A bunch of us in here. It was bad. They bound him with fetters. He would break the chains. They couldn't hold him. He was crying, cutting himself with stones, running around naked, breaking up funerals. Can you imagine somebody dying and knowing they got to go to that graveyard to bury a loved one and knowing that guy's running around in there? He was a bad dude. And Jesus Christ dealt with him and cast the devils out of him, as you know, and 2,000 swine ran violently down to the sea and killed themselves. And his life changed. In verse 15, they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And basically, they just told the Lord in verse 17, "You need to leave." They began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed, we're in verse 18, with the devil, prayed him that he might be with him. I mean, Jesus did something for him nobody's ever done. He said, "Let me go with you." Howbeit in verse 19, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Go tell somebody what Jesus did for you in the meeting. It's important that you tell somebody that ought to know, what the Lord is doing in your life. For instance, if you're married, you ought to tell your spouse, because what's happening is going to affect her or it's going to affect him. You really ought to tell your spouse. Or you tell your family. If you're young and you're living at home, tell your family what the Lord is doing, because They love you. They want to know what the Lord is doing. They can pray for you. They can encourage you. And the other thing, once you put it out there, it's kind of hard to go back and say, I was just kidding. It takes what was very private between you and the Lord and makes it public enough so that it gives you further resolve and strength to your commitment to follow through on what you said you were going to do. If it's a call to preach, I'll tell the church. And get the church praying for you. And be careful of this. If the Lord deals with you in such a way through preaching, perhaps at this conference, be careful that if you were to give a testimony, particularly to a church, that God has done something very powerful in your life, that you don't give that testimony to draw attention to yourself. Because this is not about what you committed to do. This is about what Jesus is doing in your life. It's funny how sometimes the call to preach comes and then it's all about the preacher. And this isn't about the preacher, this is about Jesus Christ. Now, also, not only is it to get other people praying for you, it'll help them to understand when they see a change in your life. And they'll go along with you. You know, when the Lord called me to preach, I remember it. I'm telling you, it's one more of those, you know, airmail. Home delivery. Pow. January 1989. I'll never forget it. Just, there it is. And I was not sure about all that. I had Bo on my shoulders. He was 2 years old. Or two, maybe three. But anyways, he's on my shoulders. This was standing room only in this service that we were in San Antonio. And so I got him a pacifier and diaper and all on on my shoulders. And that sermon is over. There's no making it to the altar there. We were staying in a, what do you call that thing, Embassy Suites. So we went back to the Embassy Suites. And the side they had us on was the side where the racetrack was. You remember like they have over here, that raceway we have down south? So he's, you know, wow, wow, wow. And I don't know how, but Ann is asleep, Corinne is asleep, Bo is asleep, they're just sound asleep. And there's no sleeping in that. Like that. So I went to the other room, Embassy Suites, two rooms, right? I went to the other room, got on the floor, and I was like, what's this all about? And Lord and I had one of those at the altar experiences. And that's when I knew I'd been called to preach. And there it became clear that I think our board meeting was 2 weeks away. In 2 weeks, I was getting ready to resign as president of the bank, and I'm going to the ministry. And the next day, I got with Ann. And, you know, some of y'all know the story. When I told Ann 6 months before that I was thinking about changing jobs, she said, I know what you're thinking about. You're thinking about going to the ministry. If you do that, I'll hit you in the head with a skillet. She wasn't kidding. Cast iron. In that six-month period, God had been dealing with her. But I wasn't sure that God had been dealing with her. So when I told her that God had told me the night before that I was called to preach, we went to Breckenridge Zoo. There were 1,000 witnesses there. I bought ice cream for all of them, and I sat them down and said, by the way, I thought I'd mention to you that God was dealing with me last night, and I got called to preach. Oh, really? You know, Ann said? She said, I thought it was going to be next month. God had been dealing with her. Two, it was an encouragement to her. It was an encouragement to me to tell her. And telling her publicly really helped because I didn't get the skillet. 2 weeks later, I resigned, and here we are today. The point of that is it's very important for you to make it known to somebody appropriately when God's doing something in your life. The next thing to do, after you come ready to hear and God has talked to you and you present yourself to the Lord and you've told somebody else what the Lord has done, get up and do what you said you would do. Right? Don't sit around and not do anything about it. Go do something about what you said you would do. Now, let's contrast a couple of things here. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 24 and look at verse 58. Genesis chapter 24 and look at verse 58. In Genesis chapter 24, verse 58, Abraham's servant is gone to get a wife for his son. And they have met Rebekah, and the family has agreed that Rebekah can go, but they want a 10-day party. And Eliezer doesn't want to wait around. So they call Rebekah in verse 58, Genesis 24, 58. They called Rebekah and said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" She said, "I'll go." There's her reply, and she's told somebody. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. They blessed Rebekah and said unto her, "Thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those that which hate them." And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode on the camels and followed the man. You see what she did? She got on with what she said she was going to do. She didn't wait around 10 days to party. She left. All right, now turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33, and look at the contrast. Ezekiel chapter 33, and look at verse 31. In Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 31, the Lord is speaking and he says this to Ezekiel. "They come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." Don't be that. Don't show up, hear the words, and then be one of those that won't do what the Lord showed you to do and what you presented yourself to do. Get up and go do what He told you to do. Now, may I say something to you? It is much easier to make the trip to the altar than it is to do what you said you would do after you've been there. There are a lot of people, there's some churches we go to, all of us have traveled around, there's some churches we go to, boy, every time he could preach on changing light bulbs and that altar's going to be through. They all come. They just do it routinely. But not a whole lot changes. I say make the trip when you're ready to change. And then go change. It's because it's much easier to do this than it is to follow through with the commitment. Now, if you submit to do something, listen very carefully. If you submit to do something that requires no preparation, like giving to missions, like increasing your gift to missions, or praying for some missionary, you don't need to wait around. Just do it and stay with it. But if you submit to do something, listen, that requires preparation, like preaching, then get with your pastors and find out what to do next, because it's going to take a lot of preparation before you cut loose and go do that ministry. Some guys, they said, I got called to the mission field, and the next thing they're making appointments for meetings on deputation, and they're no more ready to go than a man in the moon. All right. It's opportune that Brother Matthews is here tonight. He said the first time that Joel Dunbar made a trip to Brazil in a 6x6, and that's a pretty good program. That 6x6 program, spent 6 months down there with him. He was 18 years old. Today he is 43 years old. It's been 25. What do you call it? I know what dyslexia is. It affects your eyes. What is a dyslexic tongue? What's a Dis-tongue-stick. What'd you say?
It's wicked.
Amen. It's forked. Okay, so 43. So 43, and he was 18. So. Yeah, well, I said 79. Bingo! Yeah, there you go. 34. 16 years. Been 16 years. You know what he's been doing? Preparing. He's been preparing that entire time. He's been working as an associate pastor with Pastor Keck for a long period of time. They have been prayerfully considering this. His pastor wouldn't let him go till his pastor thought he was ready to go. And he thinks he's ready to go. And Now they're going to do it. But you know what? After he got back from Brazil, he just stayed with that program right there and went through all that was necessary so that now he can go down there and be a productive help on that field. It's a wonderful thing. The call to preach is a call to prepare. And so get up and go get prepared. Last thing. The right response to preaching, come ready to hear from God, present yourself to the Lord at the altar, tell someone what the Lord has done. Get up and go do what he told you to do. And then this, come back the next time. Ready to hear from God again. Because once you get used to the Lord speaking to you, he's going to keep on talking to you through preaching. You know, if you can come to a church and God not talk to you, something's either he's not talking through that preacher or that pulpit, or you're not listening. And lately I would have to say you're not listening. Because he's been doing some powerful talking. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. You know, the Lord loves to see us respond to his preaching because when he knows that we have figured out that he's doing the talking, although it's a man's voice and a man's body behind the pulpit, then he will have something to say to you. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Let us consider one another to provoke one another unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Come back for more. Not trying to get up a crowd. We don't have anything to worry about impressing our visitors about how many people we can get up to come to a special meeting. It's not about that. It's about you coming to get something from God. And so when we say get it on your calendar, like Brother Randy did, don't miss that, because how many times, you've seen it, Brother Matthews, Brother Jones, you've seen it, I've seen it, Randy, you've seen it, how many times there's a message, you're sitting here and you know from hearing that message, it has the name and address of a particular person who's not here. That night. So how in the world did they miss that? Well, you have an adversary who really doesn't want you to get it. That's how. And when you start cooperating with the adversary, it's an amazing thing how it'll mess up. It messes up your Christian life. When you start responding to preaching, you start growing. God uses preaching in your life to guide you in his will. Listen, I read my Bible. You read your Bible. Well, isn't that good enough? Can't God do all the talking he needs to do right through the Bible? He does a lot of talking through that Bible, doesn't he? But he does this unique kind of talking through the pulpit. And he'll use it to guide us in our lives. Just be very sure that you're hearing the voice of God, listen, and not the voice of a man. Let me just say this. In general, intimidation is from a man. And gentle spiritual leadership is from the Lord. I have no idea what kinds of preaching we're to get, but you sense that some guy's cranking on you to get something out of you, probably the man. But boy, when you sense that gentle leadership of the Spirit of God, boy, you want to listen to that voice because he's talking to you. And God doesn't speak to us just so we can say, boy, God really talked to me tonight. He speaks to us so that we will change something in our lives for the better. Because God is glorified in the right response to preaching. And that's why we do it, for his glory. Father, thank you tonight for an opportunity to be able to see these things in the Scripture. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will help us to prepare our hearts well for what you're going to do in our midst here in the next few days, and even what you've done in our hearts tonight. It's been great to hear the testimony from Brother Matthews, the testimony of the other missionaries about whom we heard tonight, and particularly to be able to do something to help Brother Moore there in Fiji. I pray that the offering is a blessing to him, and with the wisdom you give him, that you've already given him, that you'll give him and guide him, and that, Father, you'll be able to really help some folks, and even through this, see some people saved. We ask you to do all this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.